views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Good morning. It is 10 o'clock here in Dallas, Texas. It is Tuesday, I believe it's the 20th. I'm getting some feedback right there, an echo on that. Okay, I think it's gone now. Good morning. Sorry for that echo. This is Change Matters Solutions, and I am Kenny Hendricks, and we are waiting on our other host, Colette Williams, to join us. Right now, we'll have on the line Renee Cole. Good morning, Renee. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine, thank you, and I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, a lot of things going. Oh, we do have Colette. You there, Colette?
Here I am. Thank you for that brief interruption. I don't know what was going on with my technology here, and yes, I am. I'm becoming technology savvy like you guys. I'm not being left in the dust.
Yeah, I've been telling you for years. Okay. You got to get with the technology.
I'm working on it. I don't know what's going on with my equipment here, but something seems to have gone haywire. But
okay, can you get closer to the phone or something? You're kind of faint.
Okay, can you hear me now?
That's not any better.
Okay, let's see. I'm all the way up.
Okay, that's a little better. Okay, we'll go ahead and we'll work on getting that straightened out. Okay. Good morning again. Sorry for the technical difficulties here. Again, this is Change Matters Solutions, and we're going to continue our conversations with regard to, you know, the election, the upcoming election, and what that means for the folks in our community, and to have some discussions on how we should vote. And of course, there were a couple of things that happened over the weekend, several things that happened over the weekend that we'll need to discuss: the bombings in New York, the stabbing in Minnesota, and
black man in Oklahoma.
But let me start with the most important news out here. I just looked at CNN, and Angelina Jolie is filing for a divorce from Brad Pitt.
So. Okay, that's the most important news in our black world. We're gonna fall apart.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, it just came across my phone on CNN.
So if people got to call.
Yeah, I'm looking at the tickers right now. Oh, yeah. Gee, what's the bill
coming? Brothers and sisters are going to have to call in sick. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
my
okay.
gosh.
Here we go. That one. Oh, black people.
Okay, so let's get on with the real life.
Yeah. The real.
Okay, that's 2 minutes that we couldn't afford.
Yeah. The things that are really, really, really important, like Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. Mm-hmm. Please refresh my memory.
Yes.
The black man that was shot in Oklahoma, that's far more important than anything else. That is just absolutely killed by Tulsa officer, was unarmed and had his hands up. The helicopter driver also said, ooh, he looks like a bad dude.
Yeah, he said he's a bad dude.
He's a bad dude. Was,
how would he know? How would he know?
Yeah, that, so they'd all made up their minds, you know, they were going to do something to him.
He should be disciplined for making that kind of comment.
He should lose his job.
How could he tell what he is from up there in the sky?
Because he was big and black, so he's a bad dude.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You know, it's interesting that this comes not on the heels, but in conjunction with Colin Kaepernick and several of the other athletes taking knees, and of course, you know, a lot of white America is completely beside themselves about this. But you know, you contrast this with, you know, you've got this entire swath of right wing America who hate the government, You know, they need their guns to protect them, not from burglars, you know, but from the government. And you know, and all these things that they hate the government, this and that and the other thing. But then when somebody on the black side decides that they want to protest, there's something wrong. When Cliven Bundy and his people pointed guns at Bureau of Land Management officers there in Nevada a couple of years ago, the entire right wing was on their side. Sean Hannity called him a hero. You know, the Rush Limbaughs, everyone had to, I mean, they were all over the fact that they loved him. He was a patriot. Until, of course, he opened his mouth and turned out to be an idiot. But it's interesting that anybody, you know, white, and I hate for this to be a white-black thing, but I think at this point it needs to be discussed. You know, as long as white people protest it, it's okay. Mm-hmm. Any way they want to protest it. Mm-hmm. Black people protest it, okay, you know what? They get mad when black people riot. Okay, he's not rioting. He's not looting. He's not burning. You know? But you know, it's a silent protest, but there's something wrong with that. Mm-hmm. So you know, it's and we all know there's this double standard. As a matter of fact, somebody sent me something recently that showed two different families during Katrina, and one was a black family that said, you know, it was a guy and he had some stuff, and the caption said, you know, here's a guy that is looted the store, mm-hmm. and the white people had. How did they put it? Foraging or whatever it was. They were trying to survive. You know, it's an entire double standard that, you know, white people, when they do something, it's not wrong. But black people, you know, no matter what it is, it's wrong. Even walking, you know, away from the police, hands up, it's a death sentence.
Well, they yesterday I was reading.
Who would have ever known that that would be a death sentence?
Right. Yeah, I was reading yesterday. There's a coach, and before the show's over, I'll have his name in the school. He wants to take away the scholarships for the young men that don't salute the flag. And I think this is unconscionable, and it is quote unquote un-American, and it's got to be unconstitutional. He wants to take away their scholarships because they do not want to salute the flag. On the other hand, we have even around the country, the girls that are cheerleaders are now doing the one knee instead of standing up. Like, we've got cheerleaders all over the country, you know, kneeling during the flag, you know, during the national
anthem. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So the thing is, this is really, really, really the reason that they are so, you know, pissed about it is because it's getting the attention. It's getting attention all over the world, not just the country. And people are jumping on it. So that's why the only thing they can do is start threatening people for not saluting the flag, because it's making a difference. And the thing about it is, what's happening is it is beginning the conversation and the argument from an entirely different perspective. So you've got all of your, you know, you've got your basically defunct Tea Party people now. They're, you know, this new alt-right, which is very, very, very destructive and dangerous. And I think we need to talk about that a little bit. But anyway, you've got your alt-right, you've got your Republicans, you've got your white supremacists, your racists, you've got all these people who have been able to deny. And now you've got all of these people of all colors saying, we're not going to salute the flag anymore. We're not going to have anything to do with this until we start changing the things that are happening. So what Kaepernick did was incredible. And because they made such a big deal out of it, it has backfired on them. Finally, we're getting the attention needed. Also, I do want to bring out that Georgetown University, mm-hmm. people don't know, they are... this has been going on for quite some time, but what Georgetown has decided to do is they are putting up monuments because slaves were actually sold to keep Georgetown afloat. It was getting ready to go out of business. And what they did was they sold off 272 slaves, and that allowed them to keep the university open. Well, we know that it's a world-renowned university, and it's one of the best ones in the country. Well, what they're doing is they are having they're putting up museums, they're putting up historical monuments, and they're talking about this now, the slavery and its legacies. They're going to start having courses that are geared towards this very specific thing. This, and what they're also talking about is they're planning to the descendants of the slaves that they sold, they're giving eligible descendants reasonably preferential consideration in the admission process. So I want people to know that there are things happening in this country that are not making the national news that are good and that are moving things forward. And these are the types of things, when it's in your face in a place like Georgetown, these are the kinds of things that are going to force, they're going to force the conversation, and they're going to force the move. I'm through.
Oh, good. Okay. Good.
Good. Well, you know what? There are a lot of things going on. And in light of Colin Kaepernick and his kneel, there are lots of athletes who are taking the same position, that they would be kneeling during the flag salute and the national anthem. And it's their right. It's amazing that they cannot exercise their right to either salute the flag or not. That is their right. When it comes time to running that ball, they get paid to run that ball. They make all those plays and they get championships for schools. But when it comes to exercising their constitutional right, they can't do that. Which is, again, that's an insult. You can run that ball for us, but you can't exercise your right. And they have the right to kneel, to salute the flag if they choose to, kneel if they choose to. They can exercise their right just like anybody else can. And until we get to a level where everybody will be given the same right or recognized, we're going to always, in this country, have those clashes. We're going to always be fighting each other, which is crazy. That's absolutely crazy. The things that we should be doing, we're not doing. The man that was shot, in fact, I still don't know the man's name in Tulsa. I don't believe his name has been given.
But yes, it has.
I haven't seen his name. I haven't seen his name. There's a lot going on with this Ryan Lechte thing. This guy storming the ballroom. Really?
Yeah, Terrence Crutcher is his name.
Right,
Terrence
right.
Crutcher.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Colette. Terrence
Crutcher. I am reminded of several years ago, and Scotty, you may remember this. Hank Aaron, Hall of Fame baseball player, came out against something some years ago. And I'll look it up in a second and tell you what it is. But he said something publicly. I think it was about all of the vitriol that had been spewed at President Obama. And he came out against the vitriol going against Obama. And white people jumped all over him with both feet.
Oh, they sure did. That's right. I remember that.
How dare he, because everything this country gave him
is done for you.
You know, as if he didn't earn what he had. You know, right. So it's really interesting that there is a double standard. They can be against the government. They can want to kill. You know, listen, Ted Nugent calling Obama a mongrel. I can't remember exactly what he called him. Lower than life, a subhuman mongrel. Called him a subhuman mongrel.
Now that is treasonous. How do you call the president of the United States a mongrel, really, and get away with it? White people can do anything they want. We can't. We have to stick to the rules of the plantation.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
We have to stick to the rules and the guidelines of the plantation. The plantation owners tell us what we can do, and their henchmen get us if we don't stay in line. And that's exactly what that is.
one of the things about what you're saying that's so really critical for black people to understand is that because when the Constitution was written, we were not considered full humans. We were only three-fifths of a human. And the only reason we were three-fifths of a human is because it was about profit for the whites, because that made them have more constituents in their prospective areas geographically. That is the only reason they ever began to call us any part of human at all. When these laws were written, we were not considered human, so they weren't talking about us.
Right.
One of the things that I want to bring out is that on the 6th of August, I believe it was, there was a in the Dallas Morning News, the front page has a story about this white man student where he took his assault rifle to school with him. He had it strapped on his body, and this rifle is three quarters the length of this guy's body, and this is how he started going to class. Now, if a black man did that, the cops would go and he'd be dead on sight. They wouldn't ask any questions. They would kill him. The white guy could take it to class, and then the kids are complaining about it, or the students. One of the first things that I say is that, why would you go to class? They protested it, they protested and they protested. So if this somebody comes to school with an assault rifle, why would you sit in class? You know it's dangerous. You know obviously something's wrong with this guy, because nobody, why would you take your assault rifle to class and walk through the campus like this? Okay, so he's got a complex to begin with, or he wouldn't have the need to show that type of prowess in terms of what he could do to people. So who's to say he's not going to be the shooter? Who's to say he's not going to be the one? So now we've got everybody walking, not everybody, but we have people walking around with assault rifles strapped to them, and they could be the next shooter. So what the problem, where the problem lies, is that black folks can't do that. Black men can't carry their guns like that, because they will die immediately. And then even though they're strapped on, the cops, and it's black cops killing black folks, white cops killing black folks, Asian cops, just cops. So a black man, if he walked down the street like that, they don't ask questions. They shoot.
They shoot.
Mm-hmm.
They shoot to kill. Right. And they don't even ask questions.
I'm going to go ahead and give out the numbers if we have the listeners. We'd love to have the listeners call in and chime in and get with us on this conversation. Let us know your thoughts, positive or negative. You can call in on 704-951-5030 if you'd like to get in on the conversation. If you just want to conference in and listen, you can call 641-715-3660, and that is a conference line, and the participant code is 549-0032. And if you're on that conference line and decide you want to chime in, just hit *61 and we'll get you in on the conversation. So please do join us. We need to have as many people listening and getting in on these conversations, because we are looking for solutions, and we don't have all the solutions. We're looking for solutions. So let us know your thoughts. Let us know your thoughts on this subject and any of the subjects that we might be broaching this hour. Anyway, I'll turn it back over to you guys.
And that's why we are doing the show, because we don't have all of the solutions. We know that this has to come from the people in the communities, people who are there, who know what's going on, people who understand the plight of black people in this country. We're at a critical point. We're at a critical time, and solutions are the only thing that we need to even be discussing at this point. Let me
segue into talking about the election, because I think
hold on one second, Ken. Let me say this also. I of course there's no way for me to know, but I have a calendar on my desk, and it's either Wednesday or Thursday. I believe it's tomorrow, September 21st or 22nd is when Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation, and it's on my calendar. And oddly enough, the calendar has come from the Army. The Army recruits come to the school and bring calendars all the time. I was surprised to see that on that calendar. the date that Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation. And I often wonder when I see that, who knows that? I wonder if anybody else knows.
It was September 22nd, 1862.
Yes, September 22nd, and that's on my calendar.
No. And may I ask you a question, Colette?
Sure.
Do you know what Frederick Douglass said about that Emancipation Proclamation?
I was getting ready to go into that.
Let's talk about that.
Renee says she was about to go into that. So, Renee, what did Frederick Douglass say about the Emancipation Proclamation?
Well, first I want to say that he did not free the slaves. Okay,
no, he didn't.
That's the first thing. And I can't quote him right now. I will be in a matter of minutes, but it goes back to that was once again about a monetary issue in this country, and it did not free the slaves.
So he called them a stupendous fraud, is what Frederick Douglass called it, a stupendous fraud.
Right. He signed the declaration so they could go fight the war. He signed the declaration so they could go and fight the war.
He only freed enslaved Africans.
I know he denounced it, but I did not. I'm not saying it was so he could free the slaves. I don't have that. I mean, so they could fight the war.
No, it was so that they could go and fight the war.
No, so, but you already have free black people who were fighting. I'm sorry, I'm like an amateur historian, free black people could already fight. The emancipation only freed the victims of slavery who were in states not in rebellion. So you had Union states that were allowed to continue to practice slavery, like Kentucky. Kentucky was in the Union. It wasn't a Confederate state, and he allowed them. In that emancipation, it said that they could keep practicing slavery everywhere they wanted to. We've been taught a lot of lies about Lincoln, and we were just having this discussion on New Abolitionist Radio last Wednesday, but he called it a stupendous fraud. So I do agree with you. It is important to know that date, but it is more important to know what our black ancestors said about that.
Yes, exactly. Because he denounced it. Well, let me say this real quickly. Every state that had slaves, that had cotton, that had sugar, and that had tobacco, they did not release the slaves. It was very, very specific. It had nothing to do with those states. So Scotty, you're right about that. I know that he talked about he denounced it, and he did say it was a stupendous fraud. He said here and now, he denounced this and called it a stupendous fraud. I knew the "I denounce it" part, but all I'm saying is that Frederick Douglass went into a whole thing about talking about what state the black people were in and how this, you know, and how that had nothing to do with the removal or the emancipation of the slaves. And it is one of the biggest frauds ever told, because people really do believe that he freed the slaves. What did you say, Colette?
I was bringing it up simply as a point of discussion, not to say that it was the greatest thing that has ever happened to us, because it was not. Yes, it was a fraud, and those are the things that are in our history. So simply to know your history. So go ahead and finish your thought.
Oh, I was just talking about he had a whole speech about the about black folks being slave in the slavery, and about the Emancipation Proclamation. That was all. So I was just saying it's a whole. I can't read the whole speech. We don't have time for that. But I think that all people should go back and look at that speech by Frederick Douglass and read about the Emancipation Proclamation, because it was a fraud, and very few slaves were released because of the Emancipation Proclamation.
Right. Go ahead. Ken, you had something that you wanted to say. I'm sorry to have
I was moving into talking about the election and how that, again, segueing into that, about how that affects things. And, we've had discussions about, voting for the lesser of two evils. And I know a lot of, first of all, I want to make sure everybody out there votes. I can't stress enough how important it is to vote. Unless you're going to vote Republican, then don't vote. So, so right. Jokingly there. But the fact of the matter is, and I think people need to understand that Donald Trump has made a statement. He made a statement, I think it was about 3 weeks ago, where he says he's going to be the law and order president. And he says this in the midst of all these shootings, of course, the riots and things like that. Right. And of course, when we riot, you know, we're seen as savages, but when white people riot, you know, because they lose a soccer game or something like that, mm-hmm. then it's just boys getting out of hand.
Right.
But I just want people to understand that if Donald Trump is president and he claims to be this law and order president, first of all, he doesn't know what he has no idea.
He has
no idea what the hell he's doing. Well, he will if people don't get out and vote, because that is the one way that it will happen. If people are not diligent in getting out there, making sure they vote, it is very possible. Right now, the numbers are closing. He is actually ahead of Hillary in a few battleground states. And people are not voting for him because he's got any policies or that he's the right person. They are voting for him simply because of his personality and his rhetoric. And I was listening to one of the programs the other day, yesterday, and they were talking about the fact that, you know, he can vacillate on these policies. 1 week say one way, and the next week say the other way. And they've gone out and asked people about it, and they don't care.
They don't care. But see, that is because this is the thing. When you talk about the alt-right, and there's so many things that black people need to be aware of, because what white folks are doing is they are putting together their lynching parties, and they're very verbal, and they're very outright about it. They don't care. And they have said it doesn't matter if Donald Trump becomes president or not. They're taken to the streets right after the election. And what they have said, this is quoting what the alt-right has said, they have said they are going to unleash chaos. Okay? And this is David Duke of the KKK. This is the alt-right. The alt-right is saying that they want this to be an all-white country.
And by the way, Mike Pence would not call David Duke deplorable.
Right. No, of course, because they're buddies. All these guys are in this together. And that's one of the things that black people need to understand. See, folks just think, you know, okay, we've got an election coming up and, you know, things are looking bad. They're killing black folks every day. By the way, more than one black person, but it is statistically an absolute that every 24 hours, a minimum of one black person, generally a man, is killed by someone legally an authority. So that means within 24 hours, at least one black man is killed by
and
a
the nation. Thank you, Scotty. The nation's largest police union is going to endorse Trump because because he has said, you know, he says our police are the worst treated people in this country. So we are we're at the bottom of the hour. We're going to go ahead and take a break. Thank you for listening to Change Matters. We're going to take a quick break. I'm Kenny Hendricks, and we've got Colette Williams and Renee Cole. We will be right back.
Thank you.
You're listening to Change Matters Solutions on Black Talk Radio, hosted by Kenny Hendricks and Colette Williams.
And we are back. We are Change Matters Solutions. I'm Kenny Hendricks.
And I am Colette Williams, and thank you for joining us. We have our show contributor on this morning, Renee Cole. We've got a lively conversation going this morning. We're now talking about politics and the other whatever that is that's also running for president of the United States. And again, Ken, you were just talking about people not voting. I really should have gone to the caucus this year. This is the last one that President Barack Obama will be speaking at.
Let me give out the numbers real quickly. Excuse me, Colette. Let me go ahead and give out the numbers before you get involved in that conversation. Okay. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can get us at 704-951-5030. Feel free to come in, you know, call the number and chime in on this conversation. We have a lot of information that we can pass, and we'd like to hear from you. If you just want to dial in and listen, call 614-715-3660. That is a conference line, and the participant code is 549032. And if you'd like to, if you're on that conference line and decide you want to join the conversation, just hit *61. Back to you, Colette.
Thank you. What my comment was about President Obama speaking at the Congressional Black Caucus event over the weekend, and they played some excerpts from it, and the man is on fire, and I've gotten some information also via email that states he is livid. He is absolutely livid, and he is talking to the people of this country. Do not stay home. Do not take the position that you're not going to waste your vote on either one. Go out and vote, even if you have to vote for Mickey Mouse. Vote. Do not stay home. Do not think that this does not count or it's going to be a waste of time. It'll be a waste of your vote if you don't vote. And he said, if you care anything about my legacy as president of the United States, you have to get out and vote. And what was shown was his emotion and his energy. And the man is livid, and he has every right to be. He has every right to be. For him to be the president of the United States, the first African-American president of the United States, and someone come on his heels, such as whatever that he is, and tout himself as the person that could possibly be in the White House. He is unfit. He is unfit to even walk down that street. He is unfit.
For him to
prance around the country campaigning and saying the things that he says. In fact, he made a comment about no guns, and he says let's take away the guns and let's see how her Secret Service take away their guns and let's see what happens.
Yeah, that's what Trump said. I don't think it was clear that you were saying that's guns, what Trump said. What
Trump said let's take away Hillary's bodyguards guns.
But you know, they said the same
thing. They said the same thing about Obama. They said, you know, when the gun, and I'm a pro gun person, but they said about Obama, you know, well, he gets protection, but we can't protect ourselves. You know, you idiot, he's the president.
Right, yeah. Hillary was the Secretary of State. Every person running for president that gets to a certain point gets Secret Service men. And he's talking about her bodyguards. He has the same amount of bodyguards she has. She may have other people around
but he's got other people around him too.
Yeah, so he – but you know what? There is this whole of the right wing white folks and the white folks that are you know trying to hang on to the Confederacy or that of this country because we're still in that mode. One of the things that they do is if they do something, they blame it on somebody else. And it is just the most amazing thing. What Trump does, he turns around and says somebody else does it. And he's not the first person, and he's not the only person of these white supremacists that do that. That what they do that's deplorable, they turn around and say somebody else did it. So it's just amazing when you look at all of the facts. Yeah, they don't take responsibility for anything. And they not only do they not take responsibility, they turn around and say somebody else did it. So when he starts talking about her bodyguards, how many bodyguards do you have?
And right now on CNN, Trump defends racial profiling in the wake of these bombings.
Oh, right, yeah. And so,
you know, so again.
Right, we should continue with racial profiling. What a moron.
And see, if he gets into office, they would even take it even further. Trump is a dangerous man because he has nothing to lose.
Yes. Right.
This entire time, he's acted like he's got nothing to lose. And also, the most dangerous man is a man with nothing to lose.
It's nothing to lose. And the other thing is, all of the reports say that he's running for office just to avoid filing bankruptcy for the fifth time.
Yeah, I don't believe that. I think what has happened is that he started it as a joke, and it's gone so far. He didn't think he would ever get this far.
No, I agree. Yeah,
that's why he keeps talking about, well, you know, if he said if he loses, he'll just go on vacation. All these things that he had been saying until now that he sees that it looks like he's going to win. But one of the things that I had said from the very beginning is that he's going to bring his kids in if he becomes president. He's going to bring his kids in. Now he's already talking about putting his daughter on the cabinet. So what he is wanting to do is just be another Hitler. He just wants to come in and take over the country. If he gets the job, then what he's going to do is do everything he can to have a dictatorship. And that's why he said, I alone can fix it. People are insane. It is an insanity to walk behind somebody who wants to hold the most important position in the world. Everybody looks at the president of the United States, every country.
That's right.
So he wants to have the most important position in the world. Forget all the prejudice stuff. Forget all that stuff. What people don't understand is you're putting yourself in a position to be a subject of this man. And that's what these people have, without words, that is what they said. This is what they're saying. And because the right wing and the white supremacists are so viciously and rabidly prejudiced, they hate black people so badly that they would rather have nothing and be subjects just to make sure that black people are done away with. For the most part, this country has been trying to. This country has decided that they do not know what to do with black men. They do not know what to do with black people.
You know, it's interesting because you bring up the fact that he said, you know, I am the only one. And I remember when he said that several years ago when there was a mass shooting. Obama gave a speech, and the people on the right criticized him because they said he said "I" too much in the speech.
Yeah, it doesn't even matter. White folks that are white supremacists, they'll just like Giuliani. Giuliani was being interviewed, and the woman that was interviewing him, she sprouted out statistics about black folks being killed, and he says those statistics don't mean anything because she was saying white folks kill each other just as much as black folks kill each other. Black folks kill each other around 90%. White folks kill each other around 87%. I mean, it's so close, you know. When she said this, he said statistics don't mean anything. And in the same sentence while he's talking, he said statistics don't mean anything. And then he started spewing out statistics in the same sentence.
But he's also the same man that said there were no terrorist attacks under George Bush.
Right. And so I'm bringing up this point to say this. These white folks, they say anything. And they're not saying anything for their constituents. They're saying anything that they want to say. It doesn't matter because their constituents are in such a hate mode. They're going to go with anything these people say. And then they say, well, the people in authority said it, so it makes it right. So all they're doing is who they're placating to is themselves. They're white supremacists. They want to see black folks done away with out of this country. So now Donald Trump, for some reason, he flew down from the darkest heavens, hell, and he's their god. And everything that he says and does is acceptable, and it's great, and it's going to work. And even some of those that were not on his side before, what they're seeing is that it is working. It is seeing they may get a job, and what is ultimately in their minds, which is doing away with black folks, that's on their agenda, and they're seeing that it is now in vogue and it is okay and it is acceptable. So now they're jumping on the bandwagon because it's how they felt from the beginning anyway.
What is interesting is to watch his surrogates contort themselves to defend every single thing he does.
Right.
You know, yeah, everything from mocking the disabled reporter, yeah, you know, to talking about women. And if you have been watching recently, and most of the time, when someone asks these surrogates about something that Trump has done or said, the first thing out of their mouth is, "Well, Hillary did this."
And
Hillary
did that.
That's exactly right. They change the subject all
and,
the time.
And Chuck Todd, interestingly enough, last week after Trump, and they even wrote it on CNN, Trump played the press like a fiddle.
And that's what I was getting ready to talk.
He had them come to that hotel where he said he was going to basically denounce the whole birther movement.
Yeah.
He spent the first 30 minutes he had, and see, it was very strategic because he had some veterans get up and speak on his behalf, and he can't criticize that. Then he spent an entire 30 seconds saying, okay,
he was born in the United States,
yeah,
and
it's over. It's over.
In other words, I say it.
It's not over till I say it's over, and now I say it's over. So in other words, and his surrogates are saying, well, he said it's over, so it's over. So is it, why do you guys keep talking about it? He's talked about it for eight years, and all of a sudden, and now we're supposed to forget about it. We're supposed to forget about it. So my whole point being, and we can move on, is that somebody in office is important, the most important office arguably on this planet, the most powerful man on this planet, a man like Donald Trump. You know, you can see he's got no filter, and the problem is he can say the wrong thing, he can tank the stock market, he can say the wrong things, anything can happen. You know, we've got Kim Jong-un over in North Korea who is testing nuclear weapons. You know, Trump can say the wrong thing over there. You know, this guy decides he wants to do something. And anything is possible. If people don't think anything is possible, they need to understand that it can happen. Nobody ever thought. Nobody ever thought something like if back in 1998 somebody would have told you that two planes are going to hit the Twin Towers in New York, you'd have told them they were crazy. If you were in the second tower, and after the first tower got hit, and somebody said a plane's going to hit this, you would have thought they were crazy. When I was on the West Coast, I worked for a very large bank, and I was on the disaster recovery team. And one of the things they always tell you, if there's a disaster that happens in a building next to you, and something's wrong with that, whether it's natural or something, don't leave your safe zone. The standard procedure for the people in Building 2 was to stay in that building. You know, luckily, many of them got out, but that was not protocol. My point is anything can happen, and people need to be prepared for anything to happen. People need to have emergency kits at their homes. They need to have an evacuation plan. They need to be able to understand how to survive, because I guarantee, because white people have entire networks dedicated to survival. Yes. We are stuck in these urban areas, in these big cities, Detroit, L.A., Chicago, New York. Something happens, we will have no way to survive. We don't know how to do it. And I, the more I read and the more I see about these things happen, the more I talk to people about getting yourself prepared. And if we are so unfortunate as to have somebody like Donald Trump as president, we really need to be prepared. You need to look out for your neighbor, and you need to make sure you're armed as well.
Well, the other thing too about
To your point, Ken, the other is, I'm 64. We're all in our 60s. We never thought that we'd ever see an African American man as president. We never thought we would see the day that we would have an African American man as president of the United States of America. And this African American man is going out. He's had two terms. He's going on. We thought we'd never see that. Well, guess what? This other person who's running for that office, God forbid he get in, we're thinking that can't happen. So if people take the position, just like I do, that won't happen, can't happen, we certainly don't want or need to be blindsided. We do not need to be blindsided. I will be renting a bus, and I will drive around Southern California to pick up anybody that needs to go vote, because this is critical. That is a dangerous piece of work. I'm not going to call him human, and I surely won't call him a man. He is dangerous, and we don't need to allow him for any reason to even get close to the White House.
That he's close. He just built a hotel by it.
That would be a complete disaster for the entire planet.
Well,
and the things this person spews about the presidency and about the things that he can and will do are absolutely frightening and deafening. And I listen and I read the things that come across the ticker, the news, the little bit of paper that we still get. This is critical. We are in critical times. We have less than 50 days to go. Come on, people. Come on, people. Do not take the position that you don't need to go vote. Stop being pissed off with Hillary. You can be pissed off with her. Just don't vote for him. Do not vote for him. She is our last resort. And no, she is not perfect. And no, she is not the best thing for us. You have nothing and nobody else to vote for. Gary Johnson is not an option. The man can't think. He's done something else.
He just had another gaffe this weekend on the news. He said nobody got hurt in New York. Really? There's an article on Yahoo right now that says why the working white class feels left behind.
Yeah,
you know, this is why they are in droves voting for Trump.
Yes,
now,
right.
As minorities, especially as blacks, we've been left behind since day one. You know,
for centuries.
But we've got no say so in this. So all of a sudden, they're feeling a little. But the thing about it is, it's only their feeling. There's no truth to it. There's no truth to the fact that they're left behind. But we are being. But they are being fed this crap from the alt-right, from the Rush Limbaughs, from the Sean Hannitys, and the Mike Levins, and all these right-wingers, you know, that this black man has come, and he has taken over your country. He wasn't supposed to be here in the first place. He's not an American. He's a Muslim. Even just the other day, somebody said he's got this otherness about him. This is just like 2 days ago. Said he's got this otherness about him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so
black folks have an otherness about us because we are other.
Exactly.
And they're buying into this. I remember starting to listen to Rush Limbaugh back in the 80s before I left California, and I couldn't believe what was going on. It's only gotten exponentially worse with all the other people and the Glenn Becks, you know, all these people, of course, with the advent of Fox News, and it's all out there. It's all out there spewing it. And again, we've got to be diligent in voting. We've got to be diligent in protecting ourselves. Nobody's going to protect us. I think it's very obvious that the police don't protect us. They do nothing but shoot us. You know,
right.
So we need to protect ourselves. We need to basically step up and do it for
absolutely.
Ourselves.
Absolutely, we need to step up in a huge fashion. This is not the time for us to rest on our laurels. This is not the time for us to rest and think that things are okay. We don't have a choice. And for those repubs who are also black, or they're black and they're repubs, whichever way you want to slice it, okay, people, it's okay to be a repub. It's okay as long as you don't waste your vote on that. As long as you don't, and you know what, I'm sure I'm going to get some backlash about making that statement, but I am compelled to say, please, people, please, think of all that can go wrong should that person be allowed to set foot in the White House. I refuse to call the name, and I refuse to use the word president in the same sentence with that. I won't do it. And the other thing that I will not do is, I used to have a friend, and recently folks walk up to me and say, "Oh, look at your friend. Oh, have you seen your friend lately, or your friend this or your friend that?" That is not a friend of mine, and I want everyone that's listening to know that, if anybody really cares. She is not a friend of mine. The very idea that she would take on a position of what is she, Ken?
Outreach. Omarosa. The outreach.
Of outreach.
Outreach.
Yeah.
Minority outreach.
So she can go into minority communities, especially
the interesting thing is, they're not doing anything.
They still have less than 1% of the black vote.
But the other point is, Omarosa is doing outreach for Donald Trump. Telly Lovelace is doing outreach for the RNC, and there's another brother that's doing something. But if you look online to try to find out what they're doing, they're doing absolutely nothing.
Absolutely.
They're doing absolutely nothing.
And then when Trump went to Detroit and he got ready to talk bad about Hillary, that pastor walked up to him and told him that, you know, she disallowed that. And then he turned around and talked about it really badly.
Right. So Which is what he does to everybody. And if you're a Trump supporter, understand, he'll do that to you, too. He will do that to you, too. If you're on Trump's side and you think, you know, he's my guy, don't criticize him, because he will come after you with all guns blazing. It does not matter. He has no loyalty. He has no loyalty to the Republican Party. He has no loyalty to this country. He has no loyalty to anybody but himself.
And what I don't understand about black people, especially who are talking about voting for Trump, Trump is a bully. And all of these, we've got all of these examples. I mean, with the internet, it's all over the place. It's all over Facebook. It's all over Twitter. It's all over the newspapers. It's all over every place that this man bullies people and that he's violent. And what I don't really understand is that black folks that think that are behind him, what do you think they're going to do to you? Mm-hmm. They have already, there was a black man who was in the Republican Party. He went to go to the back of the stage where all of Trump's people were, and Trump, before Trump started speaking, this was week before last, about 2 weeks ago, they threw his black behind out of there and said they don't have room for him in the back. There's no room for you back here. Okay. Then Mike Steele, who was at the top of the Republican Party,
he was the former RNC chief chair.
Yes, against President Obama, they needed a black pansy coon to at the Republican Party, so they put his behind at the top of the party. And the moment they didn't need him anymore, they threw him away like a dirty diaper. It was disgusting. He was at a Trump rally about 2 months ago, and he was sitting up in the bleachers in the stands with all the commons. This man was at the top of the Republican Party, and he had the audacity to go and sit somewhere with the common people. And I was thinking to myself, and he looked like a little dejected rat. And I'm like, how can you sell yourself out like that? These people made a fool out of you, and then you go sit at a Trump rally, and the only way he was seen is because the camera scanned the whole audience. And when it scanned, he was way up. I'm like, they have no respect for you, and you sit out there in the nosebleed section like everybody else. And then he sits up, and he does not he was just interviewed last week. He does not really rally and campaign for Trump specifically. He does still for his party.
Well, you know what he does? He was on one of the, I believe it was Jeopardy, that Michael Steele was on. And when the host interviewed him, he says, boy, how do you like being away from the Republican Party now? And everybody just cheered. Michael Steele says, yes, I try to keep my distance. I stay away from them. No, yes, I'm a Republican. But nowadays, no, I can't say that I'm a Republican too loud. You could tell that he was embarrassed and he was ashamed. We're coming to the top of the hour.
Yeah, it's 3 minutes to the top of the hour. And I didn't want to close the show without getting back on the gentleman that was shot in Tulsa. Another tragic shooting of a brother, unarmed brother. And you'll see white people put the stats out. You know, more white people are killed by police than black people. Well, there's more white people in the country. But the other thing is that's more unarmed black people get killed. And I think it's a really, really interesting dichotomy this weekend, because the guy who set the bombs off, or allegedly set the bombs off.
Yes.
So you have a terrorist who was able to, I don't know if we said this at the top of the show, but was able to be taken alive after a shootout with police.
Yeah, after a shootout, yes. Yeah,
now you juxtapose those two together. A suspected terrorist who just bombed, yeah, hurt 29 people. It was three different bombs in a shootout with the police. Shot two of the police. He's taken alive. And a black man just standing there with his hands up, walking away from the police, gets shot and killed. We have a problem.
We've got a problem. And anybody that looks at that and doesn't think that we have a problem in this country is asleep. Numb from the neck up. We have a massive, massive problem, people. We have a problem, and something has got to be done about it. And I'm not suggesting that we take to the streets and start burning, but I am suggesting that we all stand up, and we all stand up, and we hold our hands together, and we do whatever is necessary in a organized fashion, in a calm fashion. We've got to demand our rights, because this is clear. This is in your face clear. They take this man to the hospital. He's able to still open his eyes, talk, and breathe.
Right. Mm-hmm. Shot him in the arm.
Shot him in the arm. And in contrast, they take this man out.
And look what they did to the one in Dallas that shot the cops, you know.
Yep.
I want to say this. This has been...
go ahead and make it quick, because we are at the top of the hour.
Okay, something on the internet. It says, we're born in one day, we die in one day, we can change in one day. It says we can fall in love in one day. It says anything can happen in just one day. That is coming in November, everybody needs to get out and vote, and we need to make sure Donald Trump does not become president of this country.
I want to remind everybody out there in the listening audience that you can listen to the podcast. Go to blacktalkradionetwork.com. You can download the podcast. You can do it on your phone. I do it. I listen in my car on the phone. You can at your home while you're working. Make sure you download the podcast. Again, this is Change Matters Solutions. We do this weekly at 10 o'clock Central Time, 11 o'clock Eastern, and of course 8 o'clock Pacific time. We want to thank you for your participation. This has been a lively conversation as usual, and it is at the top of the hour again. And any closing thoughts, Colette?
Yes.
And Renee?
Yes. Think about this for 1 minute. For the first time in the history of the United States, all living ex-presidents have united to warn Americans, no matter what, do not vote for Trump.
Right.
Yep. Good job. Thanks, everybody.
Have a great day. Week. This is Colette Williams signing off. Join us next week at 8 a.m., 10 a.m., and 11 a.m., respectively. Thank you so much for joining us. Take care.